Mark chapter 15. And verse 21.
And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross.
And verse 22.
And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull.
Amen. Romans chapter 16. And verse 13.
Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Psalms chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3. And verse 3.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wonder if you enjoyed God's word when Mallika was preaching. Praise the Lord. Five of them enjoyed. How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord? Amen. Give one more shout to Jesus. Thank the Lord for the word. A small word of exhortation. And I want to title it, What Do You Do When You Feel Totally Helpless? Anybody ever felt totally helpless in your life? What do you do when you feel totally helpless in your life? When you look into the scriptures, in the Gospel of John chapter 5, there was a man who was by the pool of Bethsaida for 38 years, totally helpless. Every other day he can see somebody jump into the water, get healed and get up and go. But this guy can never witness the miracle in his own life. He can see somebody else getting blessed. That happens sometime in church. The person sitting to your left and to the right gets blessed and you wonder what's happening with your life, whether God has forgotten you. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, there is this man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by thieves, robbed, everything went away from his life, totally wounded, totally helpless on the street, until the Good Samaritan showed up. Some of you get ready for the Good Samaritan to show up in your life. Maybe the thief has attacked you, maybe people have robbed you, maybe you feel totally helpless and you're halfway between where you should reach. But let me tell you, get ready, the Good Samaritan Jesus can step into your life at any moment of his time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, look at that man who was a paralytic. He couldn't move. Four others had to release their faith to carry this man to the house in Capernaum where Jesus was. Or the totally helpless man who, Lazarus, totally dead. Can dead people do anything? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Totally dead. Totally helpless. But Jesus showed up. Have you any time thought about your death? How you want your funeral? I heard a preacher say that when he dies, he doesn't want to lie in the coffin straight. Why can't you lie down like this? I would like personally when I die somebody to cry. I would like the ushers and the pastoral team and the administration to give out, you know, things that will make people cry. some solution that they can put on their eyes and come and say, oh, our pastor was such a nice person, he's going to be with the Lord. Well, this Lazarus was totally dead, totally helpless, but Jesus worked a miracle. Let me tell you, there are times in your life when you feel helpless, but if you are somebody who believes in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your help is not far away. He's the glory and the lifter up of your head. He can bring you out of any dead situation. He can bring you out of any prison, any bondage, any kind of thing that the enemy has put against your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the scripture that we read about this man called Simon, you look at the life of Jesus, there was a point in his life where he felt totally helpless on the face of the earth in the flesh. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All the people that he trusted in, he believed in, he raised up, they left him, forsook him. And there are times in your life when you feel the same way. But Jesus is near to you even this evening to help you through, to get you through, to bring you out of that impossible situation. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. This man, Simon of Cyrene. I was checking where this place is, Cyrene. It is in Libya. The north end of Africa. The south end of the Mediterranean Sea. Libya, present day Libya. And this man with his children Simon and Rufus is coming all the way to Jerusalem. At the time of the Passover. So he has to come forth from Libya, go through Egypt, go through the Palestine and come to Jerusalem. It's a 3-month journey. The Volvo bus was not there. The Rajdhani Express was not there. The Indigo flight was not there. A 3-month journey. Have you any time taken a road trip with your children? I just took 2 weeks back a 1,200 kilometer road trip with my baby daughter. Here is this man coming all the way from Cyrene, 3-month journey with his kids to come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And before he could enter Jerusalem, by the time he's coming to the end of the journey and he's got Jerusalem in his sight, and the kids might have been excited, he's going to tell them, listen, we finally reached where we are supposed to reach. Finally, we can go and worship God. We can go and celebrate the feast of the Passover. But before they could step into Jerusalem, there is a huge procession coming out of Jerusalem. This man is looking and there is somebody carrying a cross and nearly staggering through. There are soldiers on both sides whipping him. He falls down, picks up the cross, again begins to move. And the crowd is following him and this guy is looking with his kids. They are shocked. They don't know what's happening. They don't know who this person is. His blood is pouring forth from his entire body. He's got thorns on his head. One of his eyes almost punctured out. His beard is being plucked out. There's blood, there's spit on him. And he's flogged and people are making fun of him. But he's carrying that cross. And they're watching. Before they could get into the place where they thought they could reach. Before they could reach the place where they wanted to be on a 3-month journey. There is something that is blocking them. There is somebody, a crowd, a procession. This man falls down. His cross falls from his side. On his blood is down. He's unable to lift up that cross. The Roman soldiers around him says, "Hey, you there." Simon says, "Who, me?" "Yes, you. Pick up that cross." "Hey, listen, I'm going with my kids to celebrate the Passover. I have nothing to do with this. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Roman. I'm a foreigner." The Roman soldier could not ask any of the Roman soldier to pick up the cross because they are the ruling party. You know what I mean? They could not ask the Jew because it's the time of the Passover. You are defiling yourself if you pick up the cross. You won't be able to celebrate. So here is a foreigner. Carry that cross. What am I trying to say? The first point is this. The first point is very simple. God is at work. Look at somebody and say, "God is at work." Simon was there. Look at somebody and say, "Simon was there." He was not there by accident. He was not there by chance. Sometimes people think their life is an accident, they're here by chance. But let me tell you, even this evening, you are not here by chance. Are you with me? You are not here by accident. God is appointed. God is in charge. God is at work. You don't realize. Maybe you're feeling helpless. You don't know where you are going, what's happening with your life. But beyond the scene, there is something that is happening in the spiritual realm. There is a loving God who is God, his destiny in his hands for you. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everything was planned. You study the Bible. The birth of Jesus was planned. The time of his birth was planned. Who is, the genealogy was planned. Everything was planned. Nothing was by accident. So what am I trying to say? Here is Simon on a 3-month journey with his kids. And here is Jesus, who the previous night in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." Who is on a 1.5-day journey? Here is Simon coming. God is at work. You might not have reached where you wanted to reach, what you had planned for, but remember, God is at work. Here is Simon from one side with his family. Here is Jesus from the other side. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. They meet together. Are you with me? They meet together. I want you to take both your fingers like this. This is where you are, your left finger. This is your destiny. Your left finger and right finger, bring it together. They'll meet. Are you with me? Your trouble will meet your destiny. Your problem will meet the Savior. Your bondage will meet the deliverer. Your sickness will meet the healer. Hallelujah. Your trouble will meet the Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He's got everything planned out. There is somewhere in your work. There is somewhere in your path. There is something that's going to happen that is miraculous. God will step in. He's a very present help in times of trouble. He will step in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He will step in. Look at somebody and say, God will step in. The second point is this. God will ask you to do something that you don't want to do. God will ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Look at Mark 15:21. The Bible uses the word compelled. Simon was compelled. Open your mouth and say compelled. Compelled is the opposite of volunteer. Hello, anybody wants to volunteer to carry the cross of Jesus? Everybody's standing. I got family to take care of. I got a feast to keep. I got things to do. I got my life charged. Planned out. I don't volunteer. I'm too busy. Compel is the opposite of volunteer. Nobody volunteers to carry the cross. But I thank God that even in this generation, there is a generation that will carry the cross of Jesus Christ and reveal the glory of God in this world. Simon was compelled to do something he didn't want to do. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of God compels me. Open your mouth and say, the love of God compels me. I wonder who is compelling you. Your school teachers, your friends, your family, the movie stars. What kind of books, the news channels, what is compelling you, and compelling you to what? Here is the love of God that will compel you to the destiny that God has kept for you. Somebody say, I'm open to that. Lift your hand and say, I'm open to the compelling of the Holy Ghost in my life. God compels you. Sometimes he has to compel you to pray, to seek his face, to worship. So literally say, come on, you gotta do it. How many times have I had to, as a pastor, sometimes go to well-meaning people that I love and compel them? Listen, you can't live your life like this. Get up. Get right with God. You can't hang around with those kind of friends and think that you can be a great witness for Jesus. They're gonna spoil you. Get in the right company. Come on, don't hang in there. You can't keep that relationship and serve Jesus Christ. It's a wrong relationship. Get rid of it. You can't be disobedient, do your own thing, and expect God to speak to you. Come on, be obedient. I wonder what God, the Holy Spirit, is compelling you today. Simon could have said, listen, I'm jet lagged, 3 month journey, I'm tired. All that I want to do is go into Jerusalem. But here I'm outside Jerusalem. That brings me to the third point. In your helpless moment, your destiny is changing. Open your mouth and say, in my helpless moment, my destiny is changing. Say that again. In my helpless moment, my destiny is changing. My destiny is changing. Romans 16 verse 13. Read that, please. Somebody.
Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
Salute Rufus, the child, the son of Simon the Cyrenian. Salute Rufus, his mother and mine. Paul is writing. Paul is saying, listen, salute Rufus. Paul has not gone to Rome yet, but he's sending a letter to Rome. But he's already saying, I've got a mother there. Hey guys, remember Rufus, his mother, it's my mother too. When Simon picked up that cross of Jesus, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus looked at Simon and said, thank you. He doesn't say, Simon, ah, what a relief, man. My father bless you. Jesus didn't say that. But destiny was changing. Destiny was changing. Something was happening. When he picked up that, Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. But every drop that had fallen on that cross before he shed for the entire mankind, Simon is being rubbed in the blood of Jesus Christ while he picks up that cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is something that is happening. There is a different kind of direction where God is moving Simon's family into. Can you imagine Simon getting back home with his children, his wife asking him, Mrs. Simon, asking him, Paul's mother, asking him, hey, Jerusalem, how was the feast of Passover? I don't know, couldn't go into it. What happened? The children would have said, Amma, Mom, we were so close, but trouble hit us. 3 month journey, we were so close getting to where we wanted to get. We had Jerusalem in the sight, but you know what happened? We saw this procession and a man bleeding. People were ridiculing him, making fun of him, spitting on him. They were flogging him. He had blood being shed and he was staggering with a cross. He fell right in front of Daddy, Mama. And the Roman soldier literally forced Papa to pick up that cross, literally compelled him to pick up that cross. And the father, the mother would have looked at the husband and said, hey, listen, so what's the use of traveling? Wait, what happened? Any blessing? What happened? He might only have said one word. I'm a different person today. I don't know what's happened. I went out to Jerusalem as the way that I went out, but I've come back as a different person. Something has happened because I picked up that cross. I don't know what exactly it is. My breakthrough has not come. I don't know what's going to happen with our kids. I don't know where they're going to come up or how they're going to come up, but something has happened because I picked up that cross. Something has happened because I picked up that cross. Something has happened because I picked up that cross. Hallelujah. Something will happen when you pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. Your destiny will change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is the destiny, an intercontinental plan. Open your mouth and say, an intercontinental plan. An intercontinental plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. An African goes to the Middle East. God blesses him and he goes into Europe and starts a church in Italy. Intercontinental plan, destiny changed. Praise the Lord. Some of you didn't get it, did you? Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. We shall walk over 102 nations with the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ because we have picked up the cross of Calvary, because we have looked up to Jesus Christ. Nations shall come to us because we stand in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I believe, my Korean friends, just because you stepped into this church in Kerala, in India, for whatever reason, your destiny will change. God will give an intercontinental blessing, not only upon your lives, but upon your church, upon your pastor, upon your family. And there shall be things that will happen across the nations of the world because you stepped in into this Malayali land of Kerala to worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you think that God has forgotten you. Sometimes it looks like you're saying all the thank yous and praise the Lord and all that, and God doesn't say thank you ever once. But your destiny changes because you carry and you touch the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the glory and the lifter up of our head. Amen. Look at somebody and say, he's the glory and the lifter up of our head. Say that again. He's the glory and the lifter up of our head. When there is no one to help you, stay faithful in your trouble. Stay faithful to the cross of Calvary. Stay faithful to Jesus. Look at Psalms 3. I close with that. This is the first psalm in the Bible, actually, that has been titled as psalm. Psalms 3 is the psalm that has been titled as a psalm. And three times in that psalm, you will find the word Selah. You will find that word Selah only in the Psalms, and apart from the Psalms, only in the book of Habakkuk, and that to the third chapter. That word Selah means to lift up. It's almost like a music. Music is softly playing, soft music is playing, and suddenly it lifts up. There's boom, 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 boom. Are you with me? It's more like you start your prayer in a very simplistic, traditional Catholic way. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Charismatic way, you know, very soft. And suddenly, Selah is, you reach that place where it goes, Shikalabahandalabausmakavoria. You become almost like a Pentecostal. But I like the second meaning of that word Selah. It means, and I wanted to repeat that many a time, what do you think of that? Say that with me. What do you think of that? Selah means, what do you think of? What do you think of that? So three times in the psalm, you find this word. This is a psalm which David is writing, and he's saying in the first verse, Lord, how many are they that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Have you felt that trouble? Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Sometimes it almost looks like trouble increases. You're hoping you will get a breakthrough and trouble increases. And how many are they that rise up against me? But I like the second verse. The people who rise up against him are saying, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Think of that. What do you think of that? Can you imagine that David is in a hill? He's got his trusted couple of people with him. Two of them are his cousins when you study the Bible. Then you have Joab, the commander of David's army, mighty man, a good man to have when you are in trouble. He's on a hill, and Absalom, his son, is revolted against him. Absalom, his son, has turned the hearts of the youth in Israel away from David. And he's coming with 10,000. When you study the scripture in Psalms 3, it says he's coming with 10,000. And here on that hill, David does not know. Troubles have increased. People are trying to finish him off, kill him off. They're surrounding him. And Joab is keeping watch. And suddenly Joab sees something interesting. David is sitting there and penning or writing something. What are you writing? I'm writing a song unto my God. Aren't you scared about your life? There are 10,000 coming around you. They want to kill you. They want to finish you off, take the kingdom from your hand. But I'm writing a song unto my God. And Joab, what do you think of that? There are many who say, there is no help for me in God. What do you have to say to that? When trouble hits you, that's the first feeling. There is no help for me. There's no help for me in God. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? But look at the next verse. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. Wow. Amen. And then it says in the next verse, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. It is like, there are many who say, for me, there is no help for me in God. But thou, O Lord, are my shield, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Job, what do you think of that? How many of you would like to say to people who are looking at your troubles and concerned about you, can say to them, what do you think of that? God will hear me when I pray. God will hear me when I praise him. God will hear me when I call on his name. God will answer my prayer. Hallelujah. Because I've called on the name of Jesus, he will answer me. And David goes on writing the psalm. He says, I laid down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon thy cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah, what do you think of that? Wow. Memorize that word. Are you with me? That word, there is no help for him in God, is the same word where people were saying there is no salvation for him. And David said, think of that. People are saying that I'm in trouble, but think of that. Can you imagine somebody telling you there is no salvation for you in God? I mean, your sins can't be forgiven. You can't be made right with God because you're such a terrible sinner. You have done something terribly bad. Can you imagine actually the devil coming and telling you that? And I'm sure that he would have many a time, if you really want to follow the Lord, he would have told you that. There is no cleansing for your life. There is no victory for your life. You can never be strong again. You can never do great exploits for God. You have messed up too much. No salvation, no help for you. Trouble on all sides, and this is what the enemy whispers to you. But look at the, what do you think of that in Psalms 3 and the last verse? Salvation is of the Lord and he will always bless his people. Hallelujah. We have a God who will save us. We have Jesus Christ who will save us, who will deliver us, bring us through, who will bring us out of every snare of the enemy, bring us through completely for his glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So may the Lord be the glory and the lifter up of your head. May he be your salvation. Just think about that. Amen. Oh, what do you think of that? What do you think of that, Mira? Great, nah? God. What do you think of it? He is our salvation. Salvation does not come from a person. It does not come from a church. It does not come from a priest or from a pastor. It comes from Jesus our Lord. And there is salvation for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Everyone who calls upon his name shall be saved. He will bring you through. He will deliver you. He will set you free. No matter what people have written against you, no matter what kind of trouble you are, lean on him, call upon him. Hallelujah. God has got his destiny in his hands for you. And he will bring it to pass. Let's close our eyes in prayer. To either stand up or kneel down in the presence of Jesus, lift your hands to Jesus and say, he will bring me through. He will bring me out of my trouble. Say that with confidence, say that with faith, say that on the confidence of God's word. There is salvation for you in Jesus. He will bring you through. He will bring his destiny to pass over your life and over your generations. Say, Jesus, Son of God, my salvation is in your name. Is in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You will bring me out of all my trouble. You will deliver me from all evil. You will forgive all my sin. You will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You will heal me of all my diseases. You will redeem my life from the pit. For salvation is in your name. You will save me. You are the glory and the lifter up of our head. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take up the cross and follow you. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your voice and praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We worship your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory and honor belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We adore you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. The one your glory, hallelujah. Song, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are the glory and the lifter up of my head. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up in our places this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at somebody and say, don't be scared of troubles. Let troubles be scared of you, for God is with you. Say that to somebody. God is with you. He will save you and your children and your family. Hallelujah. Give one more shout to Jesus before we sing this song. Amen. Give one more shout to Jesus. Amen.